welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
You know, we say time and time again here at Door of Life, I just love to say it, there's two sermons you hear on a Sunday morning. The one I'm going to preach, but the one that you hear from the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And he's already been preaching to you, probably already, just some stuff in your heart to assure you and comfort you and guide you into all truth, which is why he's been sent. He lives on the inside of you to do just that. And this morning, we're just going to continue on now into the Word, and as we do, we're going to take a look at just kind of a grouping of scriptures, and I just trust as we do, we'll kind of see where we're heading this morning. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Saved through faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Romans 1:17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And finally, Paul writing, saying, in being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And of course, if you kind of see through these, you can see that today is brought to you by the word faith. All right. And Sesame Street fans out there. You know, faith is so universal in our Christian experience. You know, we know that we're saved by grace through faith. None of us saw Jesus die on that cross 2,000 years ago. Somehow, somewhere, we heard that message preached, and we believed it. We couldn't explain everything. I sometimes like to say this when I'm just leading people in a simple prayer to Christ. Many things I don't understand has nothing to do with my ability to get it in my brain. But there's one thing I just choose to believe. You love me. You gave yourself for me. Somewhere, sometime in your life, that message, you might have believed it the first time you heard it with excitement. You may have been a holdout. You heard it sound like a fairy tale. But at one time when you heard it, the Holy Spirit, who does his job, who reveals to you your sinful condition and makes you aware, wow, I'm a sinner, I'm in need of a Savior, and it clicks, my sin was on that cross. It's not just a fairy tale message, it's real, it's truth. Jesus died for the sins of the world, my sin was there. I believe that, and I on purpose receive it. And by faith, we all have our own backstory. I remember for me, I experienced a real freedom, a real release. And it was like a peace that I had not known before. Something that really was, you know, evidenced in my life that, praise God, I went from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. I knew I wasn't perfect. I knew I had stuff in my life, but I knew I was forgiven, and I knew I was loved, and I knew I was part of the family of God. And that was real in my spirit, by the Holy Spirit. I was saved by grace through faith. Again, we didn't see it happen. We just take it by faith. But as we've taken it by faith, it has changed our lives. But the scripture doesn't stop there when it comes to faith. I'm not just saved by grace through faith. I live by faith. I walk by faith. And not only do I walk by faith, I don't walk by sight. So this decision to receive Christ is not the end of my faith. It was just the first step on a faith life. A faith walk. My whole life is going to be a series of decisions based on something I can't see, but I choose to believe according to the Word of God. Salvation was just the first one. And we understand salvation as Christians. We get it. Praise God. That's why we're here worshiping God this morning. But sometimes when we bring that faith into our walk, into our everyday life, things can get a little murky about faith and surrounding faith and what that actually means. And, you know, we've got a kind of our saying, our tagline for Door of Life is where faith meets real life. What we try to do is take, you know, scriptural concepts and understandings and really bring it down to our everyday real life that we understand, okay, how am I going to walk this out? How am I going to do this today? You know, that's our heart. That's our desire. And so, ironically, as we're just talking about faith in general and kind of the universal concept of faith and bringing that down to real life, because people have romantic ideas about faith. There'll be some assumptions. It is that I'm walking by faith. My assumption is I already have perfect faith. And if I pray and something doesn't come to pass right away, then it must have passed away when the last apostle died. Because if it was still for today, it would have happened, because there's nothing wrong with my faith. I've got perfect faith. Don't tell me I don't. It might make me feel bad, and that would make you wrong. Is that how we live by faith? Is that how we walk? No. We walk by faith and not by sight, not by how we feel. We walk by this word of God. And people have romantic ideas about faith that are unscriptural. We're going to challenge some of those romantic ideas about faith this morning from the word of God. And so, kind of ironically, this morning, the title of the message is Where Faith Meets Real Life. Okay? That's what we're going to minister along the lines of today. Where faith meets real life. And I want to tell you something. I am not talking down this morning. I'm not acting like I got all the answers this morning. I am right alongside you on this journey. I got the same flesh you have. I've got the same history. I've got my insecurities. I've got my why God questions. I'm right there with you. But I don't establish my doctrine based on Ed House's insecurities and Ed House's why God questions and Ed House's pull of the flesh. I don't orchestrate a doctrine to accommodate that. I don't. No, Ed House is changing. He's being transformed by the renewing of his mind. He's not the same person he was last year, nor the same person he'll be next year at this time. I'm a work in progress. And I don't establish what I believe based on my backstory. I establish what I believe based on the Word of God. Amen. And it's changing me. Praise God. And the Word of God will challenge you, and it will change you. Praise God. It'll change you from faith to faith and from glory to glory. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to be changed. I'll tell you what, when you're changed, it brings you into a closer walk with God. One of the romantic ideas about faith is almost like it's compartmentalized. It's this something I've got on the side. Faith integrates with your whole life. And when God calls you to a life of faith, you find all kind of things beginning to change in your life. So, where faith meets real life, unromantic, Bible, scriptural faith. All right? Sometimes you go back into the time of Jesus, you almost go in cartoon mode. It wasn't a cartoon back then. Real people then, real people now. Jesus was the same then as he is today. We're going to look at what that means today. Where faith meets real life. Where faith meets real life, there is a real seeking. I'm not talking about faith where, you know, for people who don't know God, yes, they're seeking and they're going to find God. In the day you seek me with all your heart, you'll be found of me. And praise God, you can look at your own backstory of the original decision of faith. You can see that there was an interplay in your questioning God. And it's like supernatural things happen. People talk about things. It's like, wow, there was this leading up to this decision you made for Christ. So there is a seeking that an unbeliever will have, but that seeking doesn't stop just because you get saved. There's still a seeking that you have as a believer. And if you are going to have real faith, there is going to be a seeking. There's going to be a seeking in your heart that will begin to motivate you as you begin to want to walk in faith. So let's take a look at that. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you're going to talk about walking by faith and not by sight, all right, that means I am not walking by my natural inclination, my natural knowledge. I'm walking by faith. That's tantamount to Peter getting out of the boat and walking on water. You would never do that by sight. You'd only do that because the master says, you know, Peter said, if that's you, Lord, bid me come. And Jesus says, come. Peter got the will of God. And so he was able to step out of the boat because he knew the will of God. He sought God, he found it, and he began to walk by faith on the word of Jesus. You never do that by sight. You do that by faith because you know what Jesus has said. And so when you begin your faith, somebody once said, put it this way, faith begins where the will of God is known. I called upon the name of the Lord because I knew it was the will of God. He so loved me, he sent his own son to die for my sins, called upon his name, got saved. Well, the will of God continues to go on throughout the New Testament, so I'm going to find other areas in my life what the will of God, what the word of God has to say. But you'll notice there's a few things there. If you're going to walk in faith, you're going to first of all have to believe that God is. Not just that God is in theory or concept or precept, but that God is in your life. God is interested in what and knows thoroughly what's going on in your life. God is. He knows your thoughts from afar off before you even think it. God knows exactly where you're at in your soul and your emotions and everything that's going on right now in your life. God is. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, faith has an expectancy. Faith isn't just throwing up a prayer. It is expecting something. You're diligently seeking God, and you know he's going to reward those who diligently seek him. There is an expectancy that pleases God. It drives religious people crazy, but it thrills the heart of God when you have an expectancy. God, I'm seeking you. I believe you are. I believe you're a rewarder. I am diligently seeking you. What does God's word have to say about forgiveness, about healing, about fear issues, about relationship issues? There are things, real financial things, things that we really face in our life that we need real answers to, and there are real answers in God, and there's real freedom in God as we walk by faith and not by sight. So I'm going to begin this process of diligently seeking. Jesus put it this way, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So if you're dealing with an issue in your life, maybe it is healing. Maybe it is freedom from fear or paranoia, or maybe it's a bondage of sin that you're just trying to get free from. There is an asking, there's a seeking, there's a knocking. You're saying, God, I can't do this in my own strength. I need you. I need your power, your strength. There's going to be a seeking. In other words, you're going to look, you're going to begin to search and see what the Bible has to say. Now, I love this passage of scripture here. When the Apostle Paul was going to a town of Berea, it said he complimented them. It says, this is on Paul's second missionary journey. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away at night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those of Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. Paul didn't say, well, you got to believe me because I'm an apostle. No, he credited them. Don't take my word for it. Good job. You search the scriptures for yourself to see if these things are so or not. I'm going to say this. This is a big deal regarding faith where it meets real life. And whether you might get kind of caught on a religious merry-go-round or whether you're going to go on in God and really go on in faith. And that is this right here. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Connected to your faith, if there's an area of your life, it's important for you to go to the Word of God for yourself and begin to search the Scriptures. Now, don't feel like, I'm overwhelmed by this book. I'm not a theologian. You know what you are? You're a child of God with the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And the one who authored this book lives in you for the purpose of helping you to understand this book. It's not only you and your private devotion. That's why we have pastors and teachers, and we have a lot of different forms of getting the word, but that same Spirit who lives on the inside of you, who's been sent to lead and guide you into all truth, he will help you to understand this book. And you can, by faith, it takes faith. It takes faith to just take time out of your day to do this. It takes faith to interrupt your routine. It takes faith to invest time in looking up scriptures. Yeah. It's a lot more comfortable for me to just sit back and say, well, this person believes this about healing, this person believes that about healing, and I don't want to look weird, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So much of what we call faith is nothing to do with faith. It's just staying up in your head, doing theological pinball, and trying to posture. Real faith gets into the Word of God for yourself. I remember the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I had dated a gal, wasn't Julie, but they believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was kind of a, you know, interesting thing, interesting doctrine where you had to speak in tongues or you weren't even saved. I knew that wasn't right. I knew I was a born again. I knew I was a child of God. But at the same time, that tongues thing bothered me, you know, because I saw it was in the Word. I saw it was in the Bible. And so to me, it was like, that was like inconvenient truth, you know, that there was this thing called tongues. And I couldn't reconcile it. I knew I was already a child of God, but, you know, I went in and I began to search the scriptures and began to look it out. I looked, okay, this thing's passed away, right? It's passed away, right? It's gone, right? And I'll tell you, I couldn't. I mean, I looked at the 1 Corinthians 13 argument, weak, not, no way. There was no way in my heart that I knew that had passed away. I knew it by the Spirit of God in me. I knew it was right. But there was a time when I had to begin to seek and search the scriptures for myself. And when I did, some things began to change. You know, Romans 12, 1 through 2 puts it this way. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. New living. Don't copy the behavior customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This is a big part of faith right here. When you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, kind of the old, kind of the very no-brainer, non-seeking paradigm of faith is, look, I got all the faith I got. There's nothing, you know, I'm there. My faith doesn't need to change. And throw a prayer. If it happens, great. If it doesn't, you know, just wasn't meant to be. Scriptural faith isn't like that. Scriptural faith, there's a process where you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, I've done my due diligence, I've sought the scriptures, and I've found out what God has to say about something, and then I'm coming over into here. Let's say, for example, that searching the scriptures daily does have to do with, let's say it has to do with forgiveness, all right? I'm dealing with something, somebody broke my heart, and I just, all right? I search the scriptures, and I can see clearly, you know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. It is not the God's will. But everything I feel wants to do one thing, but the Word of God says something else. There will be a process of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. When those feelings, in other words, okay, I'm going to do what the Word of God says to do. But then you're going to have a lot of different contexts of life where you're going to see something that reminds you of that thing that was done that you forgave. But, oh, yes, praise God, I'm being transformed, but I'm thinking different about that. I don't want to get too specific. We're going to get specific and technical later. I want to stay high level. We're going to get to real life in a bit, but I'm going to stay high level on purpose for a little bit yet. That word, renewing of your mind, it means that you're going to be changing the way you think. That is very close to, it's really repentance. When you think of repentance, you think, oh, I'm doing a bad thing and I need to turn around and face God and do a good thing. That's good. That's the right application of repentance. But repentance in the general sense just means to change the way you think. To change the way you think. Do you know you can change the way you think about forgiveness or even change the way you think about healing or even change the way you think about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And it's repentance. You're changing the way you think. It's not repenting from sin. It's just changing the way you think. And that's when the transformation comes, when you change the way you think. That's when you begin to grow. When you begin to say, I've searched the scriptures, what does the Bible say? If you know, for me, it was about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When I was searching the scriptures, I had a hard time getting away from that. I had to change the way I think to realize that, wow, maybe the Spirit and the power of God in the earth hasn't diminished since the last apostle died. Maybe that power is still effectively and operating and working in even greater power and magnitude under the glorious church that he's coming back for. Possible. Thinking about it. Thinking. Being transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm changing what I believe. Now, this isn't Pastor Ed saying, you got to believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You got to believe in healing. No, 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 no. This is you searching the scriptures for yourself. I'm telling you, when you begin to talk about faith, it is tantamount to U.S. politics on a crossfire show. the things and the defenses and the chips on the shoulder and all this kind of stuff, that's got to go. I don't care, ultimately. I mean, I care for you. I want you to believe. I want you to go on in God. But ultimately, this isn't what I think. This is you and your life. This is your faith in God. You only get a vapor down here. Live it up. Live it out for God. Make sure you don't leave anything on the table trying to please men. The scripture said that there were people in the temple who knew that he was the Christ, but they would not confess him as the Christ because they loved the praises and approval of men more than the praise and approval of God. We come to those same inflection points. I could know something in my heart, it's God, but I'm afraid of what other people think, and I don't want to get kicked out of the synagogue, so I stay on that side of the fence. Do we still do that? Yeah. You can still do that too. I love this. This is such a powerful scripture. 1 John 2 says, "These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you." Now, John knew they had all kinds of heretics and things going on, but John could take one comfort in his heart. He said, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but that same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, just that as it has taught you, you will abide in him." Okay? There is an anointing that abides in you. Of course, we still have teachers in the body of Christ. This is just the great teacher. Ultimately, whatever I say up here on a Sunday morning, the witness on the inside of you is going to say, that's true, that's right. All right? When my heart and it is rightly divided truth, there will be something on the inside of you saying, that's good, that's true, that's right. But this is what I want to get across to you this morning. And this is very vital when it comes to seeking God regarding faith. There are going to be things that your spirit bears witness to that are true that you do not have your mind renewed to yet. There's going to be things that you know are right, but you don't have the revelation of it yet. You just know that it's right. So just because I might know that something is right, the Spirit bears witness that it's true, doesn't mean because I prayed a prayer and something doesn't happen, doesn't mean that it's not really true. No, it's the starting point. This is what the Apostle Paul prayed when he was praying for the Ephesians. He says, "I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe." And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? You can know that God has a hope for you. You can know that there are riches of the glory and inheritance. You can know that there's power working toward you. But it's a different thing when the eyes of your understanding are enlightened and you know some things. I had the witness of the Spirit a long time ago. You know, before I had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I walked into it and praise God I had it. I've had the witness of the Spirit of God that I was new on the inside, and you begin to renew your mind to the fact that you're a new creation, and praise God you're walking in the revelation and the authority of who you are in Christ. But it starts with a witness. And there is a process in the seeking where you begin to get changed. I'm telling you what, faith is not a zap thing. There is a faith process where the transforming by the renewing of your mind will take you into a place of faith, to faith, to faith, to faith. You'll begin to see things. I remember the day I was walking down, and all of a sudden, I just beating myself up, sin consciousness, and all of a sudden, God just said, you know, I just said, well, that's just the real me, I guess. And God said, that's not the real you. And I saw in a moment of time, the new creation. I saw myself on the inside, just like supernaturally. He said, that's the real you. He said, that thing came at you from the outside. And I began to realize, oh yeah, sin is an external issue. It's coming at me and I'm yielding to it or not yielding to it. But I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I knew that. I remember hearing a series on it for 6 months. 6 months? 9 months, for the love of God. 9 months. I listened to that series until I got it. 9 months. Yeah, amen. That's right. That's good. That's really good. Yeah. Yeah. New creation, old passed away. And then I saw it. A spirit of wisdom and revelation. I've never been the same since. It's very hard to fool me now in that area because I've seen something. And as you're seeking God in faith, you're going to begin to see stuff as you search the scriptures for yourself, and you listen to the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. I'm not even declaring specifics exactly dictating your faith. I'm just saying seeking is a big part where faith meets real life. If you want to stand back in the peanut gallery, really not go into the Word of God for yourself, and just see what sounds more spiritual and sounds more humble and sounds pride and sounds and sounds and sounds, that has nothing to do with faith. No. You're always right. You'll be waiting for everybody to catch up with you and never have to get into the Word for yourself. Phenomenal. The problem is you never really grow. You never really know what faith is. Like I said, I'm not talking down. I'm talking to me. I've been there. I know it. Why am I articulating this? Because I've been there, all right? Posturing and looking spiritual, trying to walk in faith and look cool and spiritual and humble all at the same time. A lot of that stuff gets dropped when you just begin to go into the Word of God. And you get serious. A lot of times, oh, man. Well, a lot of times, something will happen. You can play with faith when there's really nothing big going on. And then something happens. I'm not playing with this anymore. Either God is God or He's not God, or the Word is the Word, or the Word's not the Word. What? I am. Something happens. I'm going after this. With all my heart, with all my soul. This is not about looking middle of the road. This is about loving God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, all my mind. Setting my love on Him. Seeing what happens. You know what happens? Transformation happens. You get transformed by the renewing of your mind. As long as you're in the peanut gallery, in the seat of the scornful, there's no transformation there. You've already arrived in your own mind. But when you begin to get in this place, it transforms you. It changes you. And I love this, what Jesus, when he was, this is what Scripture, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we know that He hears us, we know that what we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. You begin to know His will. Do you see what happens here in Romans 12? Look at that second part. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That transfer, that's not just talking about your future, what you're going to do. It proves the will of God. As you're transformed by the renewing, you prove the will of God as it relates to forgiveness, as it relates to you being free from the power of sin, as it relates to healing for your body. You prove it. You prove it. It's between you and you don't care what anybody else thinks. It's proven. I know it in my heart. The Spirit has borne witness to my spirit. This is true. And it's proven. It's a deep down. When that prove happens, there's a faith in you. And I don't need everybody to be there with me. I just need to be there. This is about me walking in faith. I'm not looking for faith approval. I'm walking by faith in the Word of God. And as I've repented here and I've repented there, I've changed the way I think according to the Word of God, I can begin to prove. Why? Because I begin to see things. There's a seeking that goes with real faith. There's a seeking, and there's a finding, and there's a proving. And you look at people who've walked in faith and done exploits and different, they know some things. They've proven some things. And that's a big part of what's going on right here. I love how the New Living says, you will learn, transferring into a new person by changing the way you think. And in that change, there is renewing. There is a finding. There's a seeking, but there's a finding. It's not a perpetual seeking until Jesus comes. There's a seeking and a finding. Those who seek will find. I got to believe He is, and I believe He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If I ask for wisdom, I fully expect to receive wisdom. The Bible says, let him not doubt in his heart. If my person who doubts in his heart is like a wave driven by the sea, said, let him expect, let him believe. Lord, I'm seeking you for revelation in this area of my life. I'm seeking, I'm finding. And I love this exchange between Jesus and this dad. Jesus said to this dad, he said, on a Father's Day, here we go. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. What a beautiful heart cry. That's where we should be starting as we're pursuing God in faith. There's a witness of the Spirit that it's true, but there's a bunch of junk in my brain and my mind that is contrary. And instead of saying, well, if it's God, I'm going to pray, and if it's done, it's not done. There's nothing wrong with my faith. Don't tell me there's anything wrong with my faith. I like this attitude better. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And as you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, He's helping your unbelief. And as you're changing the way you think, you begin to see things differently. And it's not a game of faith. Again, this is real. And spiritual things are real. The cool thing of it is that when this begins to happen, you begin to find a lot of interesting things happen. Man, you begin to walk in love like you've never walked in love before. You walk in love. Why? Because bitterness hinders your faith. You find that out as you begin to renew. You know, When you corrupt communication, it grieves the Spirit of God. You go, Lord, I want to be a man of love. God is love. I'll tell you what, if you just love your neighbor and are good and kind and caring, you'll have obeyed about 80% of the epistle instructions. By doing that, you're 80% of the way there just by loving and being graceful and merciful and forgiving. Whatever God does for you in faith, it doesn't, you know, we kind of get this Superman star. I'm faith Superman. I'm doing exploits. Kind of get Transformer and all that kind of stuff. Wrong. In the kingdom of God, when faith grows, faith works by love. You're going to become a person of love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. That's a very different picture than Transformer blowing up things. It's a humble, meek, sweet spirit, full of faith. You begin to walk with God because you begin to lay aside weights and sins because it's affecting your faith. And you realize, I don't have time with this. I'm too serious about seeking God here. You accidentally begin to walk in fellowship with God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength as you're pursuing faith. There's a seeking. But I have that attitude. Lord, maybe it is healing. God, I believe in healing. I believe that by those stripes I was healed. God, help my unbelief. Praise God. He will help your unbelief. And he will cause you to grow and develop and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind isn't just mental download. He's taking you from one place to another place. He's taking you from one place of faith to another place of faith. Like I said, I knew that I was a new creation in Christ Jesus. Been listening to that series for 9 months. I knew it. I would have got it right on a test. But I was transformed to a place that I knew it. It was in me, a spirit of wisdom and revelation on the inside of me. Praise God. That's the seeking of faith. Not only is there a seeking of faith, but there's a real fight. There's a real seeking, but there's a real fight. We've kind of already alluded to this a little bit. But as you look at, you know, you look at the scriptures, clearly 1 Timothy 6 says, but you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which also you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You're going to flee the stuff he's talking about, financial corruption up there. And then he says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. In other words, he's saying that there is a fight. There is a fight of faith. Sometimes, and again, this is where we're going to kind of de-romanticize the concept of faith. We can have that concept, well, I prayed a prayer. It should have happened. Why hasn't it happened yet? Well, there is absolutely a fight of faith. Now, we talked about searching the scriptures to find out the will of God. Let's take a look at a few of the amazing promises that are in God, okay? I put them all on one slide here. It's five of them. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I say then, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Cast your care on him. He cares for you. Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. Praise God. We can just all go home. We're all set, free, delivered. You got no condemnation. You got no more bitterness. You're all walking freedom from sin right now. You have no cares, and you have a healed body. Right? We read those scriptures. Whew. Nice to get that out of the way. Every one of those scriptures, anybody who's living for God for a very long time, you've bunked into these scriptures and you go, wow, that's great. But you realize that just because you learned about a scripture and you learned about the will of God, it didn't mean that you just had instant answer to prayer, did you? Right? I mean, you remember, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, just be put away from you with all malice. I've got this heartbreaking issue, backstory, person did this in my life, and you're just saying, oh, yeah. Let it be put away from you. Oh, okay. That sounds pretty simple. You don't understand the anxiety. Oh, yeah, just cast that care in the Lord. He cares for you. That's faith, right? That's the will of God. Are these true? Yeah, these are absolutely the will of God for your life and my life. But I'm telling you what, if you've walked with God for any amount of time, you know there's a fight of faith that's connected to each one of these. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Well, all right. Lord, I forgive so-and-so, just as you told me to. And about 7 seconds later, you're thinking what they did, and you can't believe it. So what do you do? Oh, yeah, I tried that. It didn't work. That passed away with the last apostle. I don't have to forgive anymore. They could do that back then in cartoon days. But in 2017, where people are real flesh and blood, you know, it's different. Do we still have to forgive, even though the last apostle died? Yeah, we do. We still have to. Will I have a fight on my hands sometimes when I choose to forgive? Yeah. Even when you receive forgiveness, will you, you know, ask God to forgive and cleanse? Do you still struggle with guilty feelings from time to time? Yeah. Well, that's a fight of faith. Or you got walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hey, that's great. I'm walking in the Spirit. In time, something just subtly turns your focus, and all of a sudden, you got in the flesh. Well, is it still God's will for you to walk in the Spirit? Yeah. Yeah. You know, sometimes you'll see in all these things where you're walking in this, and it's like you're on top, and it's victorious. Praise God. And it's like, again, Satan might do something, a subtle little thing, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you're on the bottom, and you're fighting. And you turn and you're on top. You know what that's describing? We do not wrestle. It's describing a wrestling match. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Those promises are great, but Satan isn't just going to turn tail and run. He's going to fight you over them. There's going to be a fight of faith. Every one of them. Thank God Jesus won the victory. Thank God I got a basis for those promises of God. That blood declares that he has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. I can let all bitterness and wrath and anger because that love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. I have a spirit of love on the inside of me. I can forgive supernaturally because he's given me that supernatural ability to forgive. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which includes forgiving, who strengthens me. I walk in the Spirit. I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has destroyed the law of sin and death. When I'm walking in that Spirit, I don't even have an appetite for that junk. I am hungry for spiritual things. It's true. It's right. Casting all my care upon him because he cares for me. The burden is gone. He's got it. I've got a legal basis for all those things. But it's kind of like this country. And you think of the founding of this country. One of the greatest documents written by man in this world is our Declaration of Independence. When you look at that Declaration of Independence and the legal case that is made that these colonies ought to be free and independent states, addressing all these grievances, and at some point they declared their independence. Well, did the Britons just run home and say, dang, we had a good thing going there? Oh, well. No. They declared their independence, but there was a fight that took place after that. Satan's going to fight your faith. A lot of times in this fight, if you think, how I feel, the devil doesn't care how you feel. He'll give you drugs and make you feel wonderful. He doesn't care about your feelings. He cares about your faith. He cares about what you believe. He's going after what you believe. When the word is sown, he comes immediately to steal the word. He's afraid of that word. That word is a sword against him. It pierces into the spirit realm and it moves things in the spirit. The word does. Your feelings don't one way or the other. The word does. When you hold fast your faith and you fight for the faith, and I'm contending for the faith, that's where there's change. That's when things begin to happen. That's where there's a fight. That's what he cares about. It's what you believe. And I'm not going to let go of what I believe. I believe there's going to be a fight. Just because I pray these things, just because I say these things, where faith meets real life, you will have a fight. Jesus had a fight. Backside of the desert, turn these stones into bread. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That was Jesus declaring the word of God. that sustained his physical life. The Word of God sustained him. Praise God. We have those battles too. Why do I bring this out? Because it breaks my heart when I see people trying to walk by faith and they think that because they had some attack that they're not doing it right. You're doing it right. If there was no wrestling, I'd wonder. But if there's wrestling, you're doing it right. There's something resisting your declaration of independence from sin and bitterness and the power of sin and the power of fear and sickness. These are declarations of independence. And there's a little Revolutionary War that's being fought. And I thank God for people who stuck with it and fought the war and got free. And they've become torches to help set other people free in the areas of, it could be heartbreaks. I mean, everything from, you know, I think of Joyce Meyer's testimony, you know, where she came out of an incestuous relation background with her dad. I mean, you'd think, wow, how could somebody survive? Not only did she survive and overcome and thrive, but has been used to just break the power of the devil off of many, many minds in that area. Thank God, praise God, for to stay in and fight the battle and don't cave in and think I'm doing it wrong. No, you're doing it right. Stay with the Word. As long as you're staying with this, you're doing it right. You just got to fight. There's just the fight of faith. This is where faith meets real life. You will have a fight. Don't let that discourage you. That's just part of faith. Again, kind of the peanut gallery zap cartoon mentality of faith. Get that out. There's going to be a seeking. There's going to be a finding. There's going to be a transforming by the renewing of your mind. And there's going to be a fight of faith where you're going to stand in there, praise God, and fight it. And this is another great warfare scripture along those lines. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're invisible, in other words. But they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Look at these kind of strongholds. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That warfare is going on right up here. You've declared your independence. All right. The battle lines are drawn. And you got imaginations, you got arguments, you got all kinds of things saying, no, that can't be right. You can't be healed. Come on. Invisible power of God going and knowing what and where and how to and really affect a physical body in 2017. God can't do that in 2017. He could do that back in cartoon days, but not in 2017. Yeah. That can sound, you know, there are spiritual things that can sound far out when you're naturally minded, but when you begin to get transformed by the renewing of your mind, they don't sound far out anymore. They sound just like what my Jesus would do yesterday. Sounds like he's going to do it again today. What's going on here when you begin to really take your thoughts into captivity and bring them into the obedience of Christ? You're being transformed by the renewing of your mind right there. Right in the middle of the battle, you're being transformed. Satan's challenging it. You're saying, it is written. It is written. It is written. Not only are you resisting the enemy, but you're being transformed. You're changing. You're standing your ground. You're standing your ground. So there is a fight of faith. And finally, I want to close with this. There's a real tenacity. All right, we kind of talked about it a little bit. So we talked about the fight of faith. But there is a stick-to-itiveness when it comes to faith that is huge. And I love this. Jesus gave his disciples a little parable to try to communicate this. Here we go. There we go. Okay. Then Jesus, this is he, Jesus, spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying there was a certain city, in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out to him day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Wow. You can't dispensationalize your way out of this one. This is talking about the return of Christ, right? Okay. So this is not talking about when the last apostle dies, will he really find... No, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now, look how Jesus defines faith. You can see what's really telling... We see the amazing story about the widow and the unjust judge. But look at the very first and last line in this. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. That's why he did it. What's his concluding sentence? When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? That's his definition of faith. To pray and not lose heart. Will there be a temptation to lose heart? Will there be a temptation to just want to say, all right, Lord, you got till 3 o'clock this afternoon. If it doesn't happen, then, yep, I guess that did pass away when the last apostle died. All right, try that. No, to not lose heart. That's part of faith. There is a tenacity to real life faith. You're not gonna lose heart. That's a decision to not lose heart. I mean, it's kind of like if maybe you're believing to be healed, you know, from a broken heart, and this is you forgiving someone, you're standing in faith, you're loving, you're doing good, you're blessing, and it just almost seems like they're even more mean to you. Or you're standing in faith for healing and the symptoms does still seem to flare up. Or you're praying for a relationship issue and, you know, people are doing things to you and whatever. And it's like all those things that you're standing in faith for, it's like nagging your faith. It's like that little kid in the back of the car on a long trip. Are we there yet? Your body will cry that. Are we there yet? All right. I'm not there yet as far as the manifestation, but I'm not turning this car around either. I'm going. I'm not going to lose heart. I'm not going to lose heart. I'm going to keep going until my faith becomes sight. I'm going to do it. I'm going to stay with this. I love, this is one of the things that we got to remember in these places. For we don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amplified says, for we don't have a high priest who's unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who's been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. When I'm at these inflection points of losing heart, I'm going to the throne of grace. God, help me. I need grace to help. I need grace to stand. I love it. He's able to make us stand. And so it goes, I'm faith man, and I'm strong, and I'm going to stand. I'm standing by the grace of God, and I'm honest with myself, and I go, God, I know what your word says. I'm standing by faith. I'm standing. I'm getting grace to help in my time of need. There can be battles that should drive us to the throne of grace. You know, the Apostle Paul had a battle. The Bible says a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. And if you read in 2 Corinthians 11, you can see all the things that the enemy did in buffeting him over and over and over and over and over again. Finally, the Apostle Paul says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. It should be done by now, right? Then he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul comes to a conclusion. Therefore, most gladly, I will boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. At that inflection point of wanting to lose heart, he doubles down and says, I'm going forward. I'm not turning back. When I feel bad, I know something by faith. His grace is sufficient. Something's working in me. I'm telling you what, Satan isn't afraid of how you feel. You know, when you feel yuck on the inside, there are times that's when he's most scared of you, just because you're not turning around. You're staying in there. And there's a power of God resting on you, even though you feel yuck. He doubled down. He had a tenacity about him. It reminds me of the old Rocky movies, why I loved Rocky. You know, Rocky wasn't that great of a fighter. He just wouldn't stay down. He just kept getting back up. He just kept answering the bell. Even his manager saying, stay down, stay down, stay down. There may be some times in faith and you're overcoming and you might hear that voice, stay down, flesh out, do something. No, you know, not going down no more. You know, you get that tenacity. You get that, I'm going to do this. You know, yo Jesus, not yo Adrian, but yo Jesus, praise God. Great high priest, grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. He's in my corner. Thank you, Lord. But I'm not drawing conclusions. I'm not drawing faith conclusions. I'm not making dispensational declarations when I'm at the point of wanting to lose heart. I'm going to stay up. I'm going to double down. I'm going to go for it. There's a tenacity of faith. And thank God he puts us in a body where we can help each other out and stand with each other and to not give up in those things. So, you know, faith, where faith meets real life, there's a real seeking, there's a real fight, there's a real tenacity. What I asked, David, let's go ahead and do that. Let's go ahead and stand up this morning. We're going to do something a little bit different. I just felt prompted during praise and worship this morning that we're going to close this service a little different. We're going to sing a song, and then I'll go ahead and close with a word of prayer. But I just felt like this song, this very last song we sang, just really resonates with the message today. And so I just wanted to kind of do a quick follow-up and just let our hearts agree and make this song your confession of faith. Praise God. God. Hallelujah. Jesus, you are faithful. Glory to God. You do it again in 2017. Still moving mountains in 2017. Praise God. Still living in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father God, for all your amazing, precious promises to us. Glory to God. Make this your declaration if your heart can agree with these words. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for faith, where it meets real life. I don't sit in the seat of the scoffer. I'm a seeker. All I care is what you said. I search the scriptures. I find out for myself by the power of the Holy Spirit, the witness on the inside, and the truth on those pages. I continue in that word. As I continue in the word, I get a revelation of the word. I know the truth. I see the truth, and what I see sets me free. It's no longer theory. I've proved it. I see it, and I walk in it. Whether anybody else does or not, I do. Thank you, Jesus. You're with me. I will fight this fight of faith. I will not give up. Just because there's a wrestling match, just because I'm on the bottom, I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep wrestling. I'm going to reverse it with the word of God. Get back on top. Get back in faith. And I'm going to stay in faith. I'm going to have a tenacity. I'm not going to give up. There is a throne of grace. There is grace to help in my time of need. And through that grace, there is sufficiency. I'll glory in my weakness because I know in my weakness, strength is being perfected. I don't see that by sight. I don't see that by feelings. I see that by faith. And I trust you, Lord Jesus, as the Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.